Hi, welcome to CMO Insights, the podcast series. I'm your host, Jeff Pedowitz, president and CEO of the Pedowitz Group. Today as our guest, we have Monu Kalsi, who is vice president of marketing for the CNO Financial Group. Monu, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time, and you've worked at some amazing companies. And I think one common theme is you're always about driving performance and building your teams to drive towards that. I suppose a lot of leaders would want to say that, get their teams, but you have been particularly successful. Share with us some of the, I guess, your trade secrets or how you're going about doing it.
I think there are a couple of things come to mind when you want to drive performance, right? The two key ingredients, I would say. One is the right team, and we'll talk about that. And also, the second thing is understanding where you're going. What's the strategy for the company, right? I've seen in my experience many times that folks, especially marketers, we are so driven by delivery and momentum that we jump to, you know, creating certain campaigns and sort of delivering on some performance media, et cetera, without understanding the big picture. So I would say the key place where I always like to start and I always guide my teams to spend time is to understand the strategy. What is the corporate strategy? Where does the company want to go long-term? Who are our customers? And because not all customers are alike, right? What are the target segments that we want to basically go after that are profitable or that are going to help us with our long-term trajectory? So it's really understanding that company strategy and then kind of taking nuggets from that and then defining your functional strategy, right? Whether it's a business unit strategy and then down to a marketing strategy is a place where I like to spend a lot of time, and I definitely encourage my teams and the teams that are helping us to spend a lot of time. Because Jeff, once you understand how you make money and where you're going to actually get that next customer from, who's actually going to meet your profitability targets, it just becomes much more easier to have a much more targeted and focused marketing campaign or your next dollar for your paid media, you know. So that I feel is an important place to start.
Definitely a good place to start. So just piggybacking on that, definitely knowing what you're trying to achieve as a company is important. But I mean, today's marketing organization is quite different than it was, let's say, 10 or 15 years ago. You have your traditional elements, right? Marcom and product marketing and demand gen. But now marketing is managing technology. It could be managing partners and channels. Even in B2B now, they could be managing commerce. How do you, in light of the strategy, though, how do you find the right skill sets, balance the right amount of people in each group, get the right leadership? Because I don't know a single marketing executive that has experience in all of those areas. And so how do you approach that?
That's a great question. I know marketing is a complex environment to be in today, right? As you mentioned, I think I spend a lot of time analyzing and talking data than I do anything else today. So we are such a heavy data and digital driven organization that we need to basically manage everything from a MarTech stack to a whole suite of data and analytics problems to brand, to content, to you name it. I think it starts with, on the people side of things, you have to make sure that you're spending enough time in understanding the structure that's going to work for your organization. There's no one-size-fits-all marketing structure that works for every organization. Depending on how big and complex and how matrix your organization is it nationally focused? Is it globally focused? There's many different versions that can take place of that marketing structure. So ensuring that you spend a lot of time understanding that operating model and then the key roles that you need to succeed. I think that's some place where I've spent a lot of time, and I've probably spent immense amount of hours, you know, fine tuning that before going out and starting to hire people. Okay. And when I'm building that, I would also not build that in silo. You may be tempted to kind of come up with that structure and then hire people and then go share that news with your business counterparts. But what I have seen that has helped me in the past is to shop that around, right? Take that structure, that point of view of how it's going to function, what that engagement model is going to look like with my peer organizations. And I've taken that to my sales leaders, to my technology leaders, to my operations leaders. And let's get their input, right? Because you may not be thinking about the broader picture.
Do you have, I know a lot of marketing executives, they use tools, right? Personality tests, different profiles. Do you have a go-to system or question or tools that you use?
Not really. I mean, I have used tools in the past, and definitely tools help cut through some of the chase and get some input. But frankly, I have really, I guess I'm old school. I still rely heavily upon just leveraging the right set of folks to make sure that we are evaluating folks on not just skills, but also an attitude. What I mean by that is, you know, you could have best skills and the best pedigree and best experience coming in the door, but you also want to make sure that you're having the right person, the right attitude. By attitude, I mean the right level of curiosity, the right level of drive. And if you're living in an environment that is highly collaborative, the way I am today, you want to make sure that you're bringing in people who truly value collaboration and operate as one team. So I would say, long story short, I have always leveraged a good cross-section of a panel, I would say, to make sure that we are evaluating folks on skills, the technical expertise, as well as the leadership qualities that I'm looking for.
How do you actually measure performance, though, when you talk about building a performance culture? Is it on revenue contribution? Is it on career development? Is it on team dynamics? What metrics are you using to measure?
Yeah, I would say all of the above, but the currency for marketing, at least where I've been the last few roles, is revenue, right? I think of marketing as a profit center. Marketing's key job, if there's one role for marketing, it would be to drive growth. and the way I like to measure myself and every other program that we undertake is through that lens. We should not be mixing up currencies, because then that's a recipe for disaster. But that's exactly how I'm measured today, is by my ability to meet our growth plans at CNO. Obviously, with that, it's not just about what you accomplished, but also how you got there, right? So to your point, did we get there in a collaborative fashion? Did we bring others along? Did we hold ourselves accountable? What kind of alignment did we create between ourselves and the other team members? Those are some more qualitative and softer, I would say, parameters that I'd like to measure my team as well. Because at the end of the day, you can get to the end result, but did you leave a lot of bodies along the way? That's right. Not exactly the organization we want to be.
Yeah, we don't want to create wake, for sure. But that is a good segue into marketing as a revenue driver, as a profit center. Both my partner, Dr. Debbie Gagish, and myself, we're still surprised that this is still a big issue for marketing. You know, we started the company over 16 years ago, and it's still a challenge for so many marketers to be able to prove themselves to the business, drive revenue. Why do you think that is, given all the tools that marketing has now to be able to demonstrate their impact?
Jeff, I think the big problem here is marketers thinking of themselves as purely either content creators or lead generators, and not truly as business operators. What I often encourage my team to think about is, just don't think about yourself as a marketer. Think about yourself as the owner operator of the business, which means think about the currency as revenue and take full ownership end to end of the customer. It's your job does not end when you bring somebody from the website and drop them in the sales pipeline. Your job ends when that person actually buys your product. And truly, your job doesn't even end there. Your job really does not, it's almost a never-ending job, right? Once you bring a customer in, you want to make sure that they're having a stellar post-purchase experience, and they renew with you at the rate you want them to renew. So the successful versus non-successful marketing teams that I have led, and I'm sure I've had my own experiences and I have my scars on my back as well, is when we have a myopic view of marketing, generally, we are not speaking the same lingo as my business counterparts. And that makes it very difficult for me to get a seat at the table, as well as make sure that we're speaking the same lingo, because many marketers find themselves in the boardroom speaking to a lot of marketing jargon, which nobody in that room understands. And that is definitely not a great place to be in.
So what can marketing executives do to get that experience so they can start having the right conversation? Because it's not like there's a specific business school for marketers, at least not one that I know of anyway.
I think it starts with alignment, right? Everything is all about alignment and communication, in my experience, right? Making sure that you are having the live, open, candid conversations, say with your sales counterparts, making sure you understand exactly where the company is facing challenges, where the company really wants to grow. And once you understand that and have some regular touch base with your counterparts in sales and any other sort of business organization team, that's a start, right? Maybe initially you may feel like you're not really able to add a lot of value and maybe you're playing on the sidelines, but eventually, can we start small? Can we start with a small little experiment? Maybe there is a specific space where you can help maybe your sales team open the doors, right? With some sort of targeted campaign. Let's get that win. Let's build that trust. It all starts with taking those singles. And once you start small, then let's try something else, a little bit more complex. It is not done overnight. It takes time, it takes patience, and it may take a lot of failures to get there. So I don't think there's one easy or silver bullet to get there.
How did you break through for the first time? Was there a mentor, a coach? Did you have a specific experience? I mean, how did you start pivoting towards getting this education so that you could be more impactful?
Definitely, we all have been helped by a whole series of mentors and coaches along the way, and I've been blessed to have those as well. Whether they came from marketing or other areas of the business, I like to surround myself with those folks. Also, my involvement in other sort of marketing nonprofit organizations, like Jeff, I was on the board for the MMA, the Mobile Marketing Association. I was also an active member of the CMO Club. So when you actually go to those organizations, those events, you rub shoulders with other marketers and you start to listen to the challenges they've had, which may be similar to yours, and how did they accomplish that? I think you start to connect the dots, right? And the other way you can actually get there is truly through experimentation. There's no book, or there is no PDF, unfortunately, I can point to you to, or no one person, right? You just have to try. And you learn from your experience. You learn from your failures and your setbacks. Then when you're doing that next time around, you know exactly what not to do.
You know, I've known you for a while, and you've had success in just about every place you went. What I'm really fascinated is your last couple of companies, both healthcare and financial services. It's a lot of regulation in those areas. And I know some of the customers we work with, they have their challenges. You know, executives have challenges working in those environments and still being productive. Can you share some of your experience, like how you've navigated some of the hard requirements that these types of companies have?
Jeff, working in a regular industry definitely brings its own set of challenges. I would say it's a very humbling experience. I say that because we as marketers want to move fast. We're excited. We get excited very quickly about things. We want to launch that website overnight. We want to launch that piece of content in the matter of a few hours. But when you work in a regular industry such as healthcare or financial services or insurance, there's definitely more do's and don'ts. There's steps that you have to go through in terms of reviewing that content or that website, all that information with your brand team, with your internal legal team, etc., for all good reasons, right? There are certain states which require different types of messaging. There are certain states which do not allow you to do certain marketing practices. So you got to take that into consideration as well. So while, yes, it can slow us down, but at the same time, it does bring additional lens on the content we're producing or the stuff we're putting out in the market. And I find it immensely helpful to have those set of experts helping me out, holding my hand. We have a fantastic relationship with our legal team, our compliance team, not only at CNO, but even where I've been at Stericycle. And I really, really value their input. They're there to help us. And I would like to recommend all marketers to have a positive view, look at that through that lens, because they're here to help us. They're here to make sure that we're not doing something which we're not supposed to do, and that we do not really open up a area of risk for the organization.
It's always about reframing, isn't it? You know, it's easy to get caught up in the things that we can't do. Where why something's happening to us versus for us, and just innovate and figure out how to move around it, but just get the outcome that we're shooting for.
Have that glass half full, you know, view.
So what's your take as a futurist? Where is marketing going next? Any big disruptive forces or changes you see happening in the next couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure you heard this from the other folks who've come to your podcast as well. We are becoming such a heavy data-driven and data-dependent function, something that I would have not imagined 10 years back, right? But definitely digital has a huge role to play, and we are going digital first in many areas, but every decision we make, every campaign we do, et cetera, all depends on the availability of data, and not just data, but good data, trustable data. And I would say that one thing which is going to keep organizations from really making that fast moves and having the momentum is going to be data. So I feel like organizations will have to put a lot more energy and resources and money behind making sure that their data architecture and their data landscape is solid, that marketers are able to pull information they need to launch campaigns, but at the same time, have the information that they need to have the right attribution. Guess what? You have the wrong attribution, you're going to pump money into the wrong channels and not get the output you need. Attribution is a big challenge for all marketers at every organization I've been at and every forum I've attended. So data is definitely going to be some place where marketers are going to spend more and more time. I see that, and I guess it's already happened, that marketers are almost starting to own a big chunk of the technology stack. Mm-hmm. In some companies, it's almost equal to what the CIO owns. And some organizations are still getting there, but marketers would have to really be in lockstep with the chief technology or CIO, chief information officer, and really be in a lot of those technology decisions, which maybe they don't want to be in, or they have not been in the past, but now they will find themselves being more and more in the front of that. The third thing I would like to share is just, and I'm sure you heard this, artificial intelligence, right? There's a lot of push towards that. I'm sure you're hearing about ChatGPT everywhere. but from a more realistic AI, there's great AI now being built into many CRM tools and CMS tools out there. And that is going to take decisions out of the marketer's hands and into the machine learning engine. I think that's reality. That's going to come. And marketers have to feel comfortable about giving up that control and making sure that they trust the engine to make those decisions and they test it out in the real world.
Is it so much, though, that the AI is making the decision for the marketer or taking the input and the strategy of the marketer to quickly process and analyze the data? Because to me, I think where marketing needs to go is being more strategic. Like, what do I want to have happen? If these scenarios happen and I want this to happen, then AI helps it happen at warp speed, right? Versus, I don't know that AI replaces the marketer in terms of making all the decisions, though.
I think it's both. I think right now, maybe it's what you pointed out. But the future would be really leveraging AI to come up with the next best action, right? Right now, as a marketer, we are thinking about all the different permutation combinations and different customer segments and the ways we can reach them. I think the ability is there in certain tools today that the AI engine can actually tell you, yes, you thought about, you know, scenario 1, 2, and 3, but there's 4, 5, 6, and 7. Did you test those, right? And so there's ability for engines like that to help us with, point us in those sort of directions and give us some more strategic suggestions. Now, obviously, it's going to come down to time and resources for marketers to go test them out.
Great, great predictions. But I always love to hear your take on it, Manu. I've known you for a long time, and it's so easy to see why you're so successful. So thank you so much for being on our program today.
Thank you, Jeff. This was a pleasure. I hope I've addressed all your questions.
Yes, sir. We'll catch up soon.
Okay. Thank you.